So today we have another episode of the Becoming Cosmic EU podcast. Woo, can't get my words out. And today we have Harmony with us. So Harmony, let us know who you are and what you do.
Hi, so my name is Harmony, as you mentioned, and I'm an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner. I'm also the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, and this is where we certify women to become Ayurveda holistic health coaches. But my background was actually in the Western allopathic medicine, so I am a registered nurse as well, and deep dive into yoga and Pilates teacher. I've done all the things in the health, the health and wellness field over the last 19 years.
Oh wow. So what kind of made you move over from, like, I guess traditional medicine to what I think back in the 80s was referred to as, like, holistic, but I think now it's just an accepted practice, isn't it? These extra things that we do. So what how did you get into it?
So basically, I got into Ayurveda a long, long time ago. Like, I'd known about it for a while. As I mentioned, I was a yoga teacher as well. And so Ayurveda is actually the sister science to yoga. But after the birth of my twin boys, who are now almost 12 years old, so a little while ago, I had like a big awakening, a big crash in my body. I had hormonal imbalances, gut health issues. I was exhausted. I was running a business. I was still nursing and doing all the shifts whilst teaching yoga Pilates. And I was just absolutely burnt out and run down. And the traditional allopathic medical system couldn't really support me in the way that I needed to. I knew that there was so much more that I needed to do. And so I decided to go all in with Ayurveda. And as I mentioned, like, I already had, studied some like Ayurvedic psychology and Ayurvedic nutrition, but I was like, I'm going to really throw everything into this because I tried so many different things, even going to naturopaths and doctors and gastroenterologists and hormone specialists, like all the things. And so I went down my Ayurvedic journey, and the transformation, like, you can't even describe it unless you've been through it yourself, because it's not just on a physical level. It's not just like your symptoms improve. It's, and I know it sounds really like out there and woo-woo and everything, but it's more than that. It's like you have this whole new sense of identity and purpose, as well as your physical symptoms improving, as well as your mental health and your cognition. And it was just mind-blowing. So I decided to do a really deep dive into more study through the Ayurvedic lens, and became an Ayurvedic medical practitioner. And so I was doing both. I was still working as a nurse and doing that as well. But with the nursing job, it was really hard to get days like the selected days off because it's shift work. And so it just sort of pushed me. I was like, well, I know where my heart is. I know where my passion is. I was only keeping on to the nursing because I felt like it was, a stable, quote unquote, stable job. But it was not fulfilling my cup at all. And I'm so grateful that I did it, because I can really understand a lot of my clients that come to see me from both perspectives. And I've got a very non-judgmental view, and I understand like their medical issues from like the Western side and how that works. But I did see a lot of limitations in the Western medical system, and that also pushed me further and further into the Ayurvedic.
I love that. And what are the principles of Ayurveda? Because I've not, I mean, I've seen the word before, but I don't think I fully understand what the principles are for the system.
Oh, that's a bit of an echo. So Ayurveda was is a traditional medicine that stems from India. It's over 5,000 years old, and it was first documented in the Vedas, which originally were written on palm leaves because we didn't have paper and pen back then, right? And prior to that, was handed down the oral route, and it's a holistic health science. So the word Ayurveda, me it, the first part of the word, Aya, means life, And Veda is the knowledge of, or the study, the science of. So, talking about the Vedas. So, the actual word is translated to the science and study of life and longevity. And it is a whole medical system. So, there is eight branches. And what most people don't know with Ayurveda is, like, surgery was one of the branches. Obviously, back in the day, it was like very limited surgery. But there's like gastroenterology, there's ENT, which is ears, nose, and throat, there's geriatrics, pediatrics, women's health, all of that is covered in it. But Ayurveda doesn't just look at health from the standpoint of your physical and mental health. It takes into account your physical, your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, and your dharmic health. So tapping into that deeper awareness and that purpose, because once we can really uncover all of those aspects of self, that allows us to be able to step into our higher self and create complete health alchemy.
Yeah, I love that. So what are typically the kind of issues that you see women coming to now? Do you actually practice the principles are you teaching, or how what do you do?
So I do both. I'm still a practitioner. I have my own women's health clinic, and I specialize in women's hormonal health. So I will see a lot of women come in who are in perimenopause through to menopause, women suffering with PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is like PMS on steroids, but like worse. And I also run the academy. So I am teaching other health professionals how to introduce Ayurveda into their practice, because the difference between, say, like a naturopath and an Ayurvedic practitioner is that we work with the individual constitution of an individual. So there wouldn't be like, oh, you've got cortisol imbalance, so we'll give you this herb, this, and this. We work out the individual's dosha, or the individual constitution, which are the mind, body, energy types of each individual. So the treatment plan will be customized to that individual depending on their unique mind-body constitution. So the dietary principles, the lifestyle principles, the herbs, all of that.
I love that. So specific and unique. And so I expect there might be women who are kind of in premenopausal or menopausal even. What kind of symptoms are you seeing women come in with at the moment in these stages of their life?
A lot of them are coming in just depleted, a lot of brain fog. They feel like they're forgetting things more easily. They've got heightened stress and anxiety. They may have like the physical symptoms of like the sore, tender breasts around their menstruation. They might have irregular periods. They might have a lot of like bloating, heavier bleeds, lighter bleeds, because as we transition through perimenopause through to menopause, our cycle does change due to our hormonal changes. So a lot of women who are very fit, healthy, and well start to have these natural hormonal shifts, and then they start to encounter these symptoms, and they're like, oh no, something's wrong, something's really wrong. And it's not always something's really wrong. It's just we can manage those symptoms and make them more comfortable for you, because your body is going to naturally go through a shift.
Yeah, definitely. And what are some kind of like natural remedies for people watching this that they can start kind of including right now to help them go through these stages?
Like from an Ayurvedic perspective, as I mentioned, we treat everyone on that individual dosha. So we would give different recommendations depending on the dosha. So someone who is very pitta, they might be having like more of those hot flushes, whereas someone who's more vata, which is one of the doshas, might be feeling more anxious and scattered in the mind and the brain. So we will often say we need to really regulate the central nervous system, because we've got to remember that our hormones are chemical messengers, and we can't like segregate all our estrogen and our progesterone and our cortisol, our stress hormones, because they all talk to each other. Thyroid hormones, stress hormones, sex hormones. And so when one's imbalanced, so if there's a lot of stress going on in a woman's life as her sex hormones are changing, it's going to e impact that even more. And that's the same for blood sugar regulation, because our insulin will affect our cortisol, which is our stress hormone, which will then affect our sex hormones. So we always look at regulating the central nervous system. And some Ayurvedic techniques that we use is self Abhyanga, which is like a self oil massage. So we're starting to really connect to the body. We're starting to calm down the central nervous system, rub the soles of our feet with oil before bedtime and before the shower, our whole body. It also helps to move the lymphatic system, which helps to detoxify the body. And sleep is also really imperative at this point in time in our lives, because sleep again is dictated by the hormones that are going on. And we know that when we're well rested, we feel a hell of a lot better. It's so much more positive. So we really emphasize having like a nice evening routine as well. I like to tell a lot of my clients to go up against a wall before bed and then turn around, lay on your back, and flip your legs at the wall. Did that make sense? And then pop a little eye pillow on and have a 5-10 minute meditation, because what that does, that position does, is it drops you into that parasympathetic nervous system, which is our resting nervous system, and that's the one we need to be in more. But because of these hormonal shifts and imbalances, often we're driven into that sympathetic nervous system too much, and that's like where we get all that stress, anxiety, brain fog, all of this stuff going on. So doing a nice meditation with our legs at the wall is a really good tip for calming the whole central nervous system. So
I love that.
that's some of the like lifestyle sort of things that we there's so many of them, but there's just a few quick little ones. And then we have herbal medicine as well, which can really help manage the symptoms, can help increase progesterone levels, or flush out the estrogen, excess estrogen levels. So there's that, and then obviously the diet as well. So looking at how we can best support the body and the hormones and all of those things sort of all go together.
I love that. There's so many layers, aren't there, with this work? I think whoever we're speaking to, whoever's sat in like your position, there's always so many layers that people have to consider and think about, because we are very complex beings, aren't we, as humans? Our bodies are very, very complex, and that's just the physical body, right?
Absolutely. And you bring up a really good segue as well into that's just like you said, that's just the physical body, but also our mental body is going through a big change in this time, especially in our Western cultures, because when we're transitioning from like that perimenopause through to menopause, often there's this like, oh, I'm aging, I'm getting older, like all of these sort of fears and worries are coming up instead of embracing that beauty. And from like more of the Eastern traditions, it's seen as like this time of wise womanhood where you're actually stepping into your higher self, your true wisdom. And when women can really embrace that, they embrace the whole process, and it doesn't play on their mental health as much, because we know that the hormones already will be driving changes in our brain and our mental health. But then when we're labeling ourselves and seeing it as this awful sort of process, it also starts to play on our mind. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, we look at that even deeper, because there's so many different layers of the mind that we need to get through as well.
Yeah, I agree. I always tell people you have to be really, really kind to yourself. I think we're going through some like immense shifts at the moment from an energetic point of view and cosmically as well. And we're seeing a lot of things happening. Dream space is coming a lot more vivid, lots of layers being brought up to clear. Like, do you go into that kind of level as well, or are you kind of more 3D, if that makes sense?
No, we definitely touch on, we always meet with where the client's at. So sometimes I will get clients that are all about that and, love to go deep into that, but some of the clients are not. So we just meet them with where they're at. But when we look at the dream states of people and the types of dreams we're having, absolutely, we relate that back to the doshas as well, because that will indicate an imbalance in the doshas, which is the mind body energy systems. So we definitely look at it from an energetic level as well, because we are energy. So we definitely take all of that into consideration when we're treating a client, and the way that we articulate that with a client may differ depending on who they are and how they're coming in to us. A lot of the time, our conversations, that I found recently with women is they come in for hormonal balances, but most of our conversations and treatments geared towards they feel like they've had a loss of purpose, a loss of connection, a loss of dharma, or they have not been able to set boundaries, around themselves or their business or their family, and that's causing a lot of extra stress. And from there, the stress can start to impact the hormones and so on. But when we're looking at the root cause, it's generally like very heavily in the energetic levels of the individual.
Yeah, I love that. So important. I think a lot of modalities kind of tend to skip out on quite a lot of the layers that you actually need. I've been recently been, I mean, I'm quite connected cosmically, so a lot of what I need to do here in 3D and above 3D is kind of directed to me. I'm like, they tell me what to do, what to say, where to go, and I'm like, okay, I'll do it most of the time anyway. But recently, I've been called to add more peppermint to my diet, more vitamin C, and more oregano oil as well. So that's been quite interesting. It's stuff that I've been doing anyway, on and off, but they're like, you really need to get consistent with this now. So, like, I bought myself a little juicer, and I love that. I love that, when you're connected, you're going to be guided.
And interestingly, from an Ayurvedic perspective, all of those things are really to boost immunity in the body. Whether there's sort of some thing lingering around there that, the universe is helping you to not manifest because it's really starting to boost your immune system with the oregano oil, the vitamin C's, and all of the things. That's a really nice nice message to get to really support your health in that way.
Yeah, and peppermint tea as well. I'm a big fan of peppermint tea. I don't know how that plays a part in herbal medicine.
Well, from an Ayurvedic perspective, peppermint tea is like a cool, like cooling. So if there's sort of an like if you have a higher pitta dosha, which is like a more of that fire dosha, then that will help to counterbalance that. So that might even be like being very driven and overworking and very passionate. Like sometimes that can get really like heated, and so the peppermint tea can cool all of that down. Or if there is sort of something lingering around, like usually if there's like an inflammation or some sort of low level infection, like that generates heat as well. So you might be being called to using the oregano and vitamin C for the immune system, but also like the peppermint tea for the cooling of the system. Where are you based? Where do you live?
In the UK.
Okay, so it's pretty cold there anyway, right? Or
Yeah. I
yeah.
just bought a car recently with heated seats, and honestly, it's been a game changer because my kids always moan about me having the heat around. They're like, Mom, I'm going to be sick. Can you turn it off? Because I like the heat. So, like, having a heated seat in the morning has just been absolutely incredible. And no but whiny kids. You said you've got children, you've got family as well, have you?
Yeah, I've got twin boys, so
Oh,
I get
twin
you.
boys. Yeah, they're 11, 12, 11, you said, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they're about to turn. Yeah.
That must have been a journey on its own, having twins. Were you aware that you were having twins? Did you plan or?
Definitely didn't plan to have twins. At first I cried when I found out. I was like, what? How can you do this? I know with this in the ultrasound, and I saw like, you see the sac, the dot, and then I was like, what is that? Like, seriously, what is that second dot doing over there? And the doctors just like went over to scan. He's like, yeah, there's two heartbeats in here.
Wow.
But I love it now. Absolutely love it. They're good mates. They, yeah, it's lots of fun.
Yeah, my bet. I guess it's kind of like once you get over the hard stage, and having children is hard from a young age anyway, isn't it? Once you get over that, you've got two, so you don't have to go through it again. So you kind of done it all in one go.
Exactly. And it's kind of easier now because they do the similar things. They're at a similar age. Like, I'm not having to, juggle too many different activities. Like, I still do, but not as many as, like, someone with three kids, different ages, different sexes. It'd be difficult.
Yeah, that's lovely. And how have you found like being a mom, handling everything you do? Like how, because I know a lot of, I'm a single mom, so me, I just get very, very good at juggling everything. I just have. I'm good at handling chaos. I'm good at handling stress. You know, I think we just battle through. But how have you found this journey of working for yourself and then being a mom as well?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to sort of just battle through, don't you? But I think I did suffer quite a lot with the boundaries in my work a while ago, and then that would lead me to a lot of guilt with the children. And so now I'm so much better at having those boundaries in my work times, and then my times with the children's, like really just time with my children. And I mean, as a mum, there's always a like a little bit of that guilt that comes in if like they get back from school and you're still working, like I'll be down there. So like, you know, and but then they've also had to learn, like, you know, this is also mum's job. So they're very respectful of that too. We've just had to work it out as we go along, and each age that they are, things change and shift a little bit. But yeah, there was definitely been like a big juggle, but now I feel so much more comfortable with both, you know, managing both. And I'm finding that I am creating more balance with like entrepreneurship and motherhood, and it feels really, really good.
I love that. I love that. I would love to see more mums go into entrepreneurship because I feel like it's so rewarding, not just obviously the monetary, because that takes a little bit of time to build. But, you know, just the skills that you learn, right, as along the way, it's like a growth plan on its own.
It's next level. Like, I have done multiple degrees. I'm nearly finishing my master's degree. Like, I've done so much through, you know, the traditional educational systems, and nothing has tested me. Nothing has made me grow. I have like then being your own like an entrepreneur and going, this is like the biggest personal development journey you can go on, is being in business for yourself. And definitely difficult times. But I even said to my husband last night, I was like, even through all of the toughest times in my business, I still couldn't give it up to go work for someone else now. Like, I just couldn't do that.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to remember, isn't it? Like the sting of working for someone else. And I think when you are a mum, you don't really have much of a choice because, you know, most of us have our children for holidays and Easter breaks. I don't know what it is like where you are, but we have like 6 weeks on summer, we have Easter 2 weeks, we have weeks every now and again, it seems like I lose track of the weeks, to be honest. But we have like weeks off almost every 6 weeks, and you know, I don't know any job that would be supportive of that, really and truly. I mean, I used to work in corporate, and can't imagine having this much time off working in corporate still. I think I would get booted out quite quickly.
Totally. Well, that was another reason why I left like the government nursing job, was because A, I couldn't get permanent shifts to actually do my business, but also the shift starts at 7, and the before school care started at 7, and my husband's a shift worker too, so I literally couldn't be at two places at once, and they were just couldn't be lenient on that. So I was like, it just kept pushing me out and out. So yeah, I was like, that's it, I'm gonna work for myself, I'm gonna do my own hours. I'm gonna be able to drop kids off and yeah, all the things. So
And
yes, I
so
don't
what
even.
I'd sorry about the harmony. So what advice would you give someone who's kind of like in your who was in your position where you were thinking like, oh my God, I don't want to stay where I am in this job. I can't make it work, but I don't know what I'm going to do next. Like, what advice would you give someone in that position where you were?
Yeah, so I already felt really called and connected to Ayurveda and to being a practitioner. So in one sense, I already had that like deep calling and knowing, whereas some women, they may feel like, I don't want to be doing this, but I don't know what I want to do. So I would always first suggest to do a deep dive into what are you called to do? Like, what would you love to do? And sometimes it might take a little while to transition out of your job into your solo career or entrepreneurship. And so if you can sort of drop hours or change jobs So it's just a job to bring in money. It doesn't have to be like this big career move, but so that you're building your business on the side, and also to really back yourself and trust yourself and find a really supportive network. I was very fortunate. My husband was very supportive of me, and he's like my biggest cheerleader. Even when I'm like, that's it, I can't do this anymore. He's like, no, you can, like, you definitely can. So I was really lucky in that respect. But if you don't have that, like, be surrounded by, groups like this, that you have women who are there cheering you on, and being a support to you and inspiring you and motivating you, because it can feel like a lot, can feel very overwhelming. And I would always suggest is get a mentor that has been through it and can give you the steps. Because if you're trying to do everything on your own at the start, like I was, it will take so much longer. You'll have like, it'll do your head in, and then you'll feel like you're failing when maybe you're actually not failing, but to yourself. Especially if you're someone who puts high expectations on yourself, you'll be like, this isn't working. And sometimes you need someone to say, like, no, it is. It just takes longer than you expect.
Yeah, that old chestnut. It always takes longer than you expect. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned on this journey, and I've been on it just over 10 years, is that you have to be incredibly patient. And you have to be incredibly kind as well to yourself, because it just as in a job, there's no kind of linear stage to growth. Is there? Growth just doesn't go up in a straight line. It would be beautiful if it did, but some days you'll feel like you're taking 10 steps backwards. And I always remind people, like, there's a little like caterpillar walking along the road. It has to go backwards to go forwards. And so, oftentimes we have to take those side steps and those backward, and it's almost like a dance, isn't it? And I think sometimes it's okay to give up for the day and just say, you know what, I'm giving up. And then usually in that precipice of that moment, the universe will come in and say, oh, thank goodness, we can give you what you need now, because you decided to release the resistance around all that stress, all that worry, and all of a sudden we can help you.
And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do is know when to give up and give yourself a break, isn't it? Like, we can often just want to push, get to the next level. But yeah, you're so right. The universe will then step in and support you and be like, I've got you, I've got you.
Yeah, I call it the what next syndrome, and I see that quite a lot, especially within women coaches. They're always like, I want to get to this next level, I want to have this £10,000 month, I want to have this £100,000 month, I want to have $1 million month. And you're like, well, you do know that this what next syndrome never ends.
Yes, so true. So true.
You've got to be grateful for what it is you have right now, because otherwise you're never going to be grateful. You're just pushing it back and back and back and back.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. I loved hearing about what you do, Harmony. It's really beautiful. Where can people kind of find you if they want to learn more about you and what you do and how you do it?
Yeah, so I'm quite active on Instagram, which is at Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. And I do have a free Facebook community as well. And that's the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood, where I do a lot of like live trainings in there. And I have on my website a free 5-part mini series, which is all about stepping into your higher self through Ayurveda. And I also have a podcast, which is Harmony Inspired Health. So you can find all of that pretty much on my website, or DM me on Instagram and I can send you in the right direction.
Amazing. We'll make sure that all those links are put in the podcast and in the post that we share, so people can find you easily.
Thank you.
So before we wrap up, are there any kind of like key messages that are coming through you right now that you'd like to share to just wrap up?
Yeah, I think the biggest message and take home for me to share, whether you are a woman looking at going into your own business or whether that's not for you, and you are a woman who you will be going through different hormonal shifts, what I've noticed in my work with both different niches is that the women who are more connected to self and who have a deeper connection to their dharma, and dharma is just righteous action and being like, feel like they're being on purpose, purposeful in their action. It doesn't mean you have to connect to this higher purpose in your career or anything. It's just purposeful action. They are the ones that can, are the ones that have the grit to do what they need to do to make it to the next level in business, or have the grit to do what they need to do to self-heal themselves if they're going through hormonal imbalances and so on, because they have that deeper awareness and deeper connection. And so I always like to help my clients cultivate this by taking a moment every single morning, hand on your heart, and just taking a big, deep breath in and asking yourself, like, how do I feel? And be really honest with that. And if you're feeling, pissed off, or if you're feeling agitated, or if you're feeling calm, like, say how you're feeling, and then how do I want to feel? And say that out loud, and then really try to embody that feeling. Because I think awareness, self-awareness, is the key to holistic success in anything that you do.
I agree. I agree. Our feelings are such good warnings and signals, aren't they? It's probably one of the most powerful signals we have. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And like I said, we'll make sure your links are included when we share this episode. And I'm going to thank our readers and listeners and watchers for being here and supporting us and watching this episode. And then I'll end it and we'll have a quick chat if you've got 5 minutes, Harmony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.